Kusaptahayano Bhala Kumahadri Vidharanam Tatono Jayate Sankha Vrajanatha Tavatmaje. On the one hand, this boy is only 7 years old. And on the other hand, we see that he has lifted the great hill Govardhan. Therefore, O King of Braja, a doubt about your son arises within us. Srinanda uvacha Suruyatam Nebacho Gopa Vietu Sankacha Vor Bhatke Enam Komaram Udishya Gargo Meyad Uvachaha. Nanda Maharaj replied, O cowherd man, just hear my words and let all your doubts concerning my son be gone. Some time ago, Garga Muni spoke to me as follows about this boy. Report. Srila Sridhar Swami comments, the words previously heard from Gargacharya awaken Narada Nanda Maharaj to the truth about Krishna. And thus, by Nanda's constantly remembering his activities, all thoughts about their being impossible ceased in him. Now he is instructing the cowherd man with these same words. Om Agyanti Midandasya Gyananjana Chalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha. Nanda Maharaj replied, O cowherd man, just hear my words and let all your doubts concerning my son be gone. Some time ago, Garga Muni spoke to me as follows about this boy. At the time of Lord Sri Krishna's name-giving ceremony, Vasudev, the father of Lord Sri Krishna, sent the family priest of the Yadu dynasties, Sri Garga Muni, to Braj Bhumi, in order to perform this very auspicious and blessed event. Vasudev, although he was cast in a great ocean of separation from his own beloved son, Sri Krishna, was still constantly remembering him, constantly immersed in a mood of loving service toward him. Such a wonderful experience that took place, that at the time of the birth of Sri Krishna into this mortal world, he appeared within the jail cell of Kamsa in his beautiful form of Narayan, with four arms holding the conch shell, the chakra, the club, and the lotus flower, decorated with the Kaustubha Mani, beautiful golden helmet and golden ornaments decorating his body, which was a deep bluish color like the Indra Nila gem. His most auspicious, all-attractive, lotus-shaped eyes were glancing upon Vasudev and Devaki with great love. Because the Lord understood the difficulties, the tragedies that his devotees accepted on his behalf. It was prophesied by that auspicious voice that resounded in the sky on the day of their marriage that the eighth child of Devaki and Vasudev would kill Kamsa. It was understood that this eighth child would be the deliverer of the world from all evil and reestablish the true principles of Dharma. Therefore, Vasudev and Devaki were willing to have children, knowing that each and every one of them would be mercilessly slain right before their eyes by their cruel brother, Kamsa. But still, it was their service to prepare the way for the Lord to appear according to his desire. Such a quality of surrender. They were surrendered to the will of Krishna. As it was said by Lord Jesus, the night before his crucifixion, he was praying at a very holy spot on the Mount of Olives called Gethsemane. He realized that tomorrow they will come. Not tomorrow, on that very night they will come. They will arrest him. They will accuse him. They will beat him, whip him, blaspheme him. And then ultimately they will crucify, torture, and kill him. He could have ran away. He could have hidden. They would not have found him. He was praying to the Lord, "My dear God, if it be your desire, please let this cup passeth from me." In other words, if this can be avoided, my Lord, please let it be avoided. But he ended his prayer that let thy will, not my will, be done. In other words, my Lord, whatever is your divine, inconceivable plan on how I can serve you, let me do it according to your will, not according to my plan or my feelings. In a similar mood, we find Vasudev and Devaki. Krishna had his inconceivable plan that he would appear from the womb of Devaki only after six of their children were mercilessly butchered by Kamsa right in front of the eyes of their parents. Every mother and father knows that when a woman is in pregnancy for so many months, how much they anticipate seeing this beautiful child that they can call their own. When a baby is born to the parents, it is truly love at first sight. Anyway, Vasudev and Devaki, they knew that it was the Lord's plan that they be in jail for so many years. They knew Kamsa would kill their children, but yet they continued having children. Through the 10 months of pregnancy, they obviously become attached, and then it is slain. But if this is what is required for the Lord's plan to be carried out. And if this is my service as a part of that divine plan, let it be. Vasudeva and Devaki, they didn't curse the Lord. Why are you doing this to us? They didn't even question the Lord. They knew that whatever Krishna does is for the absolute benefit of all living beings. So Lord Narayan, when he was casting his merciful glance upon Vasudeva and Devaki in that prison cell, in the midnight hour, on that dark moon night, he could understand. He was relishing what his devotees had done for him. And he spoke. He told them, "You have done wonderful service. Now you take me from this place to Braj Bhumi, and you exchange me with the child of Nanda and Yashoda." After all that, the Lord's mercy is so inconceivable. He wasn't even willing to remain with them. Then on the request of Devaki, he transformed himself into the most beautiful, illustrious, all-attractive child, baby, an infant. The beauty of Krishna in his baby form is incomparable to any vision, either of this world, of the heavenly worlds, or of the spiritual worlds. Everybody knows how charming it is to the heart to see a beautiful baby. But here was a baby who was possessing all the beauty in fullness, supreme, unparalleled beauty. Vasudeva and Devaki, the love, the affection, the devotion they had for this little baby child. Yet Vasudeva's next thankless task was to take that baby to another place where it would be brought up by other parents, and he would have to remain in prison, never seeing it, never hearing its beautiful laughter, not able to do any seva personally for this child. So Vasudeva, through the terrible, terrible storms, it was raining severely on that night. Not a very pleasant task at all. And the river Jamuna, because of the massive monsoon rains, it was flooded. But with complete faith and obedience in the word of Narayan, he tolerated all these rains and he just walked right into the Jamuna. Fearlessly, with complete faith in the word of God. Is it not our tendency when there is obstacles, when there are difficulties, we make some convenient excuse that it is not practical for me to do this service. There's too much impediment. I don't feel very good, and people are not helping me, and not only that, but it's cold, or it's rainy, or it's too hot. The conditioned soul loves to make excuses when devotional service is not according to our idea of what we like. But Vasudeva did not consider any excuses. Through severe cold, terrible winds, and devastating rainfall, he walked. And Krishna says in Gita, Ananyas chintayanto mam yejana paryupashate tesham nityabha yuktanam yogakshemam bahamyaham. That for my devotee who surrenders to me, I will preserve what that devotee has and carry what he lacks. The fact is, it was impossible for Vasudev to cross the Jamuna. It was impossible for him to even survive being outside on that night in that mission. But blindly, without even considering possible or impossible, he just started walking through because it was the order of the Lord. And therefore, without his knowledge, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Balaram, incarnated himself as Ananta Shesh to serve like an umbrella to protect Vasudev from being killed, destroyed, and to protect the beautiful child, Sri Krishna. And when he came to the river Jamuna, although it was so deep and the current was moving so rapidly, it was impossible even for a boat to cross on that night. But without question, he simply walked right into Jamuna, knowing it is the will of God. And seeing his unparalleled implicit faith in the order of the Lord, the Jamuna reduced its size, became peaceful, and allowed him to cross. It is explained that during that time, Krishna fell from the hands of Vasudev, who was holding him over his head. And when he fell into the river Jamuna's waters, Vasudev, in great anxiety, terrible, terrible anxiety, he began to search through the waters for his child. Can you imagine Krishna? How wonderful he is. After Vasudev does all this only for him, he in his own transcendental way actually jumped from the head of Vasudev into the waters of the Jamuna. And in this way, after he surrendered everything to the Lord puts him in total anxiety, thinking that he's totally failed his mission. He's just, after all these years, can you imagine what was going through the mind of Vasudev after all these 8 long years of seeing my children slaughtered just to bring the Lord into the world? Now he's drowning. I may never find him. Everything's nullified if I can't find him in these waters. And he was searching frantically. Krishna loves to put his devotees in these types of anxieties. And sometimes we think that when we take to Krishna consciousness, we will be peaceful, there will be no anxieties. But from this story, we understand that Krishna does not always fulfill our expectations in this regard. But we should know that these anxieties that were experienced by Vasudeva and Devaki were steeped in spiritual emotions of ecstasy, ananda, that are billions and trillions of times deeper, greater, and more fulfilling to the heart than the peace of merging into the impersonal Brahman. Because it is the anxiety of love, selfless, unconditional, unmotivated devotion. And then, by Krishna's divine arrangement, he appeared to Vasudev. Vasudev is thinking, this baby is helpless. Somehow I have saved him. And then he continued on. and Jashodamai in Gokul Dham. She was resting. It was such a tiresome affair going through the labor of producing this child, who was none other than Yogamaya, that she simply did not even recognize whether it was boy or girl, just went to sleep. And Vasudeva, very carefully seeing everyone sleeping, very secretly exchanged the children and brought back to Mathura. And now he had a beautiful little girl. But as soon as he returned to the jail cell of Kamsa, the child began to cry. Everyone woke from their mystic slumber. And Kamsa was immediately notified by the guards, and he came down and he took this little baby child and went to smash it against the rock to kill it. Terrible, bloody mess. This was his desire, to just beat it until it was a bloody corpse. But as he rose the child up with his mighty arm, which was more powerful than 10,000 male elephants, the child gracefully slipped from his hand and went into the air and manifested the divine form of Durga Devi and told Kamsa that the child who is meant to kill you has already been born. So here is Vasudeva. After all this, he didn't even get to keep the little girl. She just flew up into the sky and disappeared. And he had to remain in prison. Now, for an ordinary neophyte devotee, such a person would have gone to some other god or rejected God altogether after going through all this, would they not? But Vasudeva, understanding the perfection of the sweet will of Lord Sri Krishna, he was still immersed in how can I serve him. His mind was 24 hours a day engrossed in loving devotion to Lord Sri Krishna. And therefore, in a mood of Vatsalya Ras, the mood of a father, he was always worrying about Krishna. You know how a father worries about a son when the son is away from home? Especially when they're little children, huh? Well, Vasudeva was worrying about Krishna like this. So therefore, he took another great risk. He called the priest of the Yadu dynasty, Garga Muni, and told him secretly, please do not tell anyone here in Mathura what you're doing. Because if Kamsa finds out, he will become very angry and he will attack this little baby child. But you kindly go to Sri Brajbhumi. Because the auspicious name-giving ceremony is very important for the future blessings of this child. It is one of the samskaras recommended in the Vedic Shastra. So he wanted that Krishna and Balaram, that they not be denied of this opportunity. Going back a little, the next day after Krishna was born and appeared in the house of Nanda Yashoda, the Nandotsava ceremony took place. Well, there was wonderful, wonderful festivals. Brahmins were chanting hymns, and musicians were playing, and all the Brijabasis were dancing and celebrating. And meanwhile, Nanda Maharaj was giving so many gifts to the Brahmins and to the saints and to the sages. And Vasudeva, what could he do? he celebrated the birth of his child by giving charity and giving tens and thousands of cows to Brahmins and saintly people in his mind, although he was in a totally poverty-stricken state in a prison. He wanted to make sure that the birth, that he could do everything within his power to make this child's life auspicious with the blessings of the great souls. So within his heart, he began to meditate on giving the most precious, wonderful gifts to the saintly people so that they would bless child Krishna. And then he started hearing rumors. Not rumors. He was hearing news reports that Putana has come, that Kamsa had sent such a deadly, terrible Rakshasi witch, Trinavarta coming. In this way, Vasudev was constantly worrying about Krishna, constantly praying for Krishna's welfare. And it was in this mood that he sent Gargamuni. That actually, Krishna is Yadu Nandana. He is a descendant of the Yadu dynasty. Why should he be deprived of the benedictions and the blessings of this great heritage? At least let him get the blessings and let the samskara be performed for his name-giving ceremony. So Gargamuni, on the request of Vasudev, came to Vrindavan, Mahavan. And when he approached Nanda Maharaj, Nanda Maharaj was so happy to see him. He felt so blessed that here is this great sadhu coming to my home. And he began to speak. He said, such great personalities like you, you appear like you are beggars coming to ask us for some donation or for some alms. But actually, this is only an excuse to enter into our homes to purify our lives. Because after all, everyone knows that grihasthas who have families, their tendency is to become so much involved in their worldly affairs that they forget the goal of life. They forget Krishna consciousness. Or if they don't forget, it's somewhere in the background while they're engaged in so many worldly affairs. And it is impossible for us to really pursue the goal of life under these conditions. Therefore, we are utterly dependent on great sadhus, those in renunciation like you, because you come in the guise of begging in order to enlighten us, in order to purify our lives. This is your great mercy. So humble are the saints, so humble are the great devotees of the Lord, that they are willing to accept the most humiliating social position of a beggar just to come to our doors so that we will give them entrance, thinking that we are doing something for them, but actually they are doing everything for us. A feeble-hearted, cripple-minded grihastha thinks, I am so great, I am doing something for these sadhus. But great souls like Nanda are teaching that actually they are doing everything for us. By allowing us to engage in some service, by giving us saintly association, it is their great charity. Compared to what we may give them is insignificant and nothing compared to what they're giving us. They're giving us entrance into the spiritual world by their satsang, by their darshan, by their sweet words of encouragement in Krishna consciousness. So Nanda Maharaj, in this mood, began to thank Gargamuni for the selfless task of coming to his home just to enlighten him. And when Gargamuni explained to Nanda Baba that I have been sent by Vasudev to perform the name-giving samskara for your two children, Nanda Maharaj was very happy. But it was usually such, especially in a place like Vrindavan. Vrindavan is a place where any excuse, they have wonderful festivals. Huh? Just like here at Radha Gopinath Temple. Whatever the excuse, we'll have a festival. Just give us an excuse, we'll have a festival. Because Krishna likes festivals. He likes when all the devotees come to celebrate his glories, to chant, to dance, to sing, to discuss transcendental topics. So, generally, for the king of Brajabhumi, Nanda, this is a great festival. But then they were thinking that if Kamsa finds out, he will become very suspicious. It will bring him conviction that this is actually, because at that time, you know, Nanda Maharaj sent the demons, the Rakshasas, to murder every child that was born within the realm of time of Krishna's birth. Indiscriminately. Any male child born anywhere in the Mathura Mandala area was been ordered to be murdered. And the Rakshasas were just traveling everywhere, and anywhere they found a male child, they would murder it. So, they were thinking, it is not wise to make it well known that this child is born. So they decided to have a very simple, secretive ceremony in the cowshed where Sri Nanda Baba would keep his cows. A very indiscreet place. And there they all gathered amongst the cows and the calves to perform this wonderful, wonderful name-giving ceremony. And when Gargamuni, who was very wise, he was Trikala Gyan. He was endowed with a benediction that he knew past, present, and future. He wasn't like one of these professional astrologers who just speculate in order to take your money. But he was actually a knower. He could actually see into the truth and the reality. So therefore, Gargamuni, upon seeing the beautiful features and qualities of Krishna and Balaram, and calculating who they truly were, where they were coming from, what their future life would be, he spoke to Nanda Maharaj. And Nanda Maharaj, here in this verse, is telling the cowherd man what he had heard from Gargamuni, which would clarify all the doubts in their minds. You see, the gopas, after seeing this little beautiful child of only 7 years old lift the Govardhan hill with the little finger of his left hand for 7 full days and nights, they were confused. Who is this child? We love him as our own child. Even Nanda Maharaj forgot everything Gargamuni had told him. He was so much saturated in remembering simply Krishna's beautiful qualities that he forgot everything else. But on this occasion, when the gopas began to inquire very sincerely from Nanda Maharaj, he remembered. He remembered what this great saint had told him. And tomorrow, we will read and discuss Nanda Maharaj's recollections of the words of Gargamuni on that auspicious day of the name-saving ceremony of Krishna and Balaram. Is there any questions?
Maharaj, when Krishna sends us physical difficulties on our path, one can either tolerate and one can philosophically understand that. But when Krishna gives us difficulties like, when we put ourselves in difficulties like, you know, we are put in a situation where there is great separation from devotees, is it due to our impure desires, and how we can overcome such difficulties?
For you, you just drive an hour and a half and go to New Vrindavan. But Sri Ramananda Rai was asked by Sri Chaitanya, what is the greatest misery? And he said, to be without the association of devotees is the only misery I know. Everything else can be tolerated. But without the satsang of the Vaishnavas, our life is dreary and void. So, this suffering of not having the chance to be with devotees is actually Krishna's mercy. It means that we must be very blessed and we must have sincere desire in our heart. Otherwise, we will not have such feelings of separation. Of course, if you have the opportunity to associate with devotees and you do not, then your feelings of separation are superficial. Real feelings of separation is when you want and you'll do anything for it, but you cannot due to certain circumstances. If you have the chance and you don't take the chance, then there's no meaning to your so-called feelings of separation. But when due to circumstances of your life, you simply cannot have it, then you can have it in those feelings of separation. Krishna's mercy is so great that because you are a sincere devotee and you want the satsang of the Vaishnavas, he gives it to you even when there's no one around. How does he give it to you? By filling your heart with these feelings of longing, anticipation to be with the Vaishnavas. In remembrance of Krishna and in remembrance of his devotees, we are actually associating with Krishna and his devotees in a very wonderful and intimate manner. So the fact is that when we do not have the association of devotees, we should cultivate these feelings of separation. We should water the pains in our heart of yearning for the company of devotees. And how do we water it? By chanting the holy names, by remembering them, by praying to Krishna, that we never take for granted the wonderful, wonderful mercy that comes through the satsang of devotees. Longing for the devotee is none different than longing for God. Yes, Nathji Prabhu?
We have heard that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that Krishna actually was born of Yashoda Maya also, along with Yogmaya. Means there was twins, Yogmaya and Krishna. And Vasudev's son Vasudev was brought across. Now, when he came on the other side, he didn't see the child Krishna. He only saw the child Yashoda had given birth to the girl, that is Yogmaya. So that's a little mystery to us. Whether there was a switch at the middle of the Yamuna, because jurisdiction of Mathura ended in the middle of the river, and then Krishna came and replaced when he went into the river. Like a cruise time, there was again a switch later on. Is that correct understanding?
When you see Krishna has different manifested bhavas, Govinda never takes one step out of Brajbhumi, Vrindavan. There are three forms of Krishna. There is Dwarkadish, there is Mathuranath, and there is Vrindavan Chandra. Huh? In these three forms, Krishna exhibits different moods of loving exchange with his devotees. Now, the Krishna that was born in Mathura was Vasudev Krishna. Vasudev means the Krishna that's worshipped in awe and reverence. The Jamuna is the border between Mathura and Vrindavan. So therefore, when Krishna entered into the river Jamuna after falling from Vasudeva's arms, that form of Vasudeva transformed into the form of Govinda, Vrindavan Bihari. And when Vasudeva brought this little beautiful child, who was now in his Vrindavan Ras, into Gokul, the twin children were laying beside Yashoda, and the beautiful form of Lord Krishna that Vasudeva brought merged into the form of Krishna that Yashoda gave birth to right on her bedstead. The two became one. And then he took the girl child and brought back to Mathura. This is how Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains. And we find that Govinda Krishna, when he was approximately 12 years and 8 months, when he was departing from Brajbhumi with Akrura, when it was time for them to again cross into Mathura, he took bath in Jamuna, and there Akrura saw with his own eyes that this beautiful two-handed Krishna, who was so expert at playing upon his decorative flute, he transformed into the forearm form of Narayan, and then again transformed back into the two-arm form of Krishna, but in the mood of Vasudeva again, and then departed into Mathura. These are three eternal forms of Krishna. In the planet of Goloka, there are four sections. One is Brajbhumi, where Krishna is eternally reciprocating with the gopas and the gopis as a beautiful cowherd boy and a player of the flute. Another section of Goloka is Mathura Dham, where Krishna is eternally in his majestic form as the king of Mathura. And another section is Dwarkapuri, where Krishna is eternally manifesting himself as the Lord of Dwarka. And then there is another section of Goloka Vrindavan, which is called Navadvip Dham, where Krishna is eternally residing along with Sri Radharani in the one supremely merciful and effulgent form of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu, where he is eternally enjoying beautiful kirtan, sankirtan, with his most loving associates. And Srila Prabhupada and the previous acharyas explain that the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, some are more inclined towards Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so they enter into this Navadvip Leela eternally in Goloka Vrindavan. Some are more inclined toward Vrindavan, and they enter into the loving affairs of Radha Krishna as a gopi or as a manjari. Or as one of the divine Brijbasis. And some, he explains, can enter into both leelas if they are very much inclined toward both Mahaprabhu's leela and Radha and Krishna's leela. they can enter into both leelas, where they can dance and chant with Lord Nityananda and Lord Gauranga, and then they could go and become a maidservant of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. Huh? This is the beautiful, infinite variegatedness of this supreme Vaikuntha planet, Goloka Vrindavan.
This doubt used to be there in my mind, that you always used to give us an emphasis, that Nanda Maharaj is also saying that this grahastha life is a life where you forget Krishna. The chances of forgetting Krishna, chances of forgetting your goal of life is somewhat very strong enough. And you always used to say that keep Krishna into center and see that the service, you should always have one thing in your mind, that you are doing the service to Krishna and not getting attached to any sense gratification or getting attached to any home or wife or this or that, unless and until you have that service motive and keeping Krishna into center. But sometimes I feel it that unless and until we have not reached to that consciousness that we are doing service to Krishna and we are not at all having our own sense gratification into center, unless and until we have not reached to that level, and before that itself, if we go into grahastha life, that means we are giving one more opportunity of Maya to trap us. So that means we are going away from that spiritual life. So is it not so very clear that unless and until you are not reached to that consciousness, we should not go into this type of a thing itself? Otherwise, it's one more opportunity of Maya trapping you, and we are going away from spiritual life, going away from goal of spiritual.
Rio, very good. All the brahmacharis, you have heard what Ananda Vrindavan, his realizations and experiences. Huh? Very nice. We will cherish these words throughout our lives. What is the saying? You can't live with it and you cannot live without it. Huh? That is the problem. If you could remain a brahmachari, Prabhupada always said, you should. But if your mind is too much disturbed by these things, better to be an honest grihastha than a cheating brahmachari. Therefore, the most important consideration in the grihastha ashram is associating with sadhus, real sadhus. Srila Prabhupada's father, when there was no real sadhus around, he would invite hashish-smoking sadhus. Because he knew that he had to teach his children that this is the first and foremost principle in life as a grihastha, serving sadhus. Huh? But if there are real sadhus, that is really God's mercy upon us. And in that association, we remain humble. Because the tendency is, as we get money and as we have power over family and decision making, we become proud. And that spoils our spiritual consciousness. Therefore, the real purpose of associating with sadhus is it should keep us in a humble condition. That I have so much, but you have more than me because you have Krishna. Your renunciation is more valuable than all my wealth. That's the way a grihastha should think. That's the way all the great kings and all the great Vaishnavas, grihasthas were thinking. And then we have good sadhana, good bhajan, good satsang. We live a very pure and honest life, and we're very charitable. It's very important in the scriptures, the emphasis on charity for a grihastha is very much stressed. Because we're working for money, and what do we do with our money? If we're conscious that it's going to charitable causes, then we know that we're working for Krishna, if that charity is connected to Krishna. Mundane philanthropy puts that grihastha in the mode of goodness. But when the grihasthas utilize their money for the propagation of spiritual consciousness, then their wealth, their business, everything becomes transformed into transcendental energy, to the proportion that it is used in Krishna's service. So this is what the Shastras recommend for grihasthas. good bhajan, humble association with devotees, and utilizing the fruits of our activities for the welfare and benefit of other living beings in Krishna's service. In this way, if we do that, Srila Prabhupada explains, there's no need to take sannyas. That your grihastha ashram is as good as sannyas if you are following these simple principles. Four principles. Good bhajan, sadhana. Learning how to very humbly associate with sadhus. Living a very pure moral and honest life. And giving the fruits of our activities for the highest welfare work of spreading the glories of the holy name. Huh? If we do these four things, Srila Prabhupada explains, grihasthas are as good as sannyasis, if not better. I remember here in Bombay in 1971, the first series of meetings I had with my Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada, it was at Cross Maidan. And at that time, there was tens and thousands of people in a pandal, and Srila Prabhupada was conducting a wedding ceremony for several of his Western disciples from Sweden, from Australia. Huh? And he was explaining to all the people, factually, traditionally in India, a sannyasi is not supposed to conduct marriage ceremonies. But Prabhupada was conducting, not secretly, but publicly, for tens and thousands of people to witness. And I still remember to this day what he said. He said that my Guru Maharaj, he sent many sannyasis all over the world preaching. He said, in fact, he sent one sannyasi to London, and he was there for 3 to 4 years. But he was not able to do anything tangible as far as opening up a center for the Gaudiya Math. So our Guru Maharaj called him back. He said, I have sent grihasthas. I believe it was 3 grihastha couples I have sent to London. And they have established a wonderful temple. And there's already hundreds and hundreds of people coming and books being distributed and the holy name being chanted and deity being worshipped. He said, therefore, I consider that these grihasthas in the Krishna consciousness movement are better than sannyasis. But why? Because they were so humble and so eager to surrender to Srila Prabhupada and associate with him. Huh? In this way, Srila Prabhupada was explaining to the people that in this age of Kali Yuga, brahmachari and sannyasi is very difficult. He said, most people will have to become grihasthas. So our aim is to train these grihasthas to be perfect devotees. And he said, and they are as good as sannyasis if they are following these principles. And then he explained that this man and woman, one is from Sweden, one is from Australia. He says, 2 days from now, I'm sending them to Australia, Sydney, to start a temple. Most materialists, after getting married, they want honeymoons, huh? They want a honeymoon in the West means a place where you just have sex to your heart's content. Some place like Niagara Falls, where it's a very suiting name, Niagara Falls. Huh? It's a place where people fall down into illicit sex as the first step of their marriage. You know, what it is a common understanding that what you inaugurate something with will create the setting for the future, right? It's like sometimes when businessmen who are religious, they want to start a factory, they begin it. They inaugurate it with worship of Krishna or Ganesh or something like that, so that the beginning is auspicious, and that will bring auspiciousness throughout. Well, marriages, usually that's what they do. They inaugurate it by going to Niagara Falls, the place where you fall, huh? But Srila Prabhupada taught them, what is the real conception of grihastha life? You're getting married today, in 2 days, you go to Australia and you start a temple, a Devo. So in this way, Srila Prabhupada taught that there is a great divinity and sanctity to the grihastha ashram, if these principles are there. Learning how, with all humility, to associate with sadhus. Never to think I can give anything to these sadhus, but to understand they are giving me a chance to purify my life by allowing me to give. It is their gift. And they are giving me their association, their satsang. If a grihastha has this consciousness, he has Krishna. And then to have good sadhana, chanting 16 rounds, 2 hours every day, worshipping the deity in your home, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam regularly, and living a pious life, following the four regulative principles, being honest and in all of your dealings as far as possible, with good intentions in all your business transactions. And what fruits come? Live a simple life and offer the fruits in the loving service of the Lord as charity for the welfare of others who are suffering in this world. Srila Prabhupada taught, if a grihastha does like that, it's a perfect devotee. It's on the royal road back home to Godhead.
But Maharaj, the problem for us is this type of a consciousness, you can have this type of a consciousness unless and until you have a very proper, so to say, standard set up before you get married, because that is the thing that will help you out. But once you get married, you are so much, before that you don't have that base. And because you don't have that base, once you go into marriage, there is so much, you are entranced with so much sense gratification, your house, your wife and everything, that you can't accept that type of a topmost life in a very short span of time. And the time you accept that life, before that you are so trapped in all these things that it is very difficult for us to adjust with that type of a life. So how to see to it that it goes out very smoothly?
Arivo. It will never go on smoothly. No ashram goes on smoothly. Krishna very specially arranges it like that, because the smoother it is, the more we become lazy. Krishna puts struggles. Krishna puts impediments. Krishna puts reversals out of his mercy so that we feel more and more dependent on him. So that we never become comfortable with the external situations, but we're always forced to go deeper within for our shelter, for our fulfillment in life. But if you are sincere and you have good spiritual guidance, you can overcome all of these obstacles that you are speaking of. If you're insincere and by your own concoction try to arrange your life on your own, then all the problems you're talking about will be there. So whatever our financial or economic situation, we always need good spiritual guidance. And with that guidance, we have the blessings of Krishna. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna.